every company was working on cubing hay, or they called it pelleting, or they called it wafering hay. And Massey Ferguson came on the market with a wafering machine that had been developed by Lundell at Cherokee, Iowa, who also earlier had developed the flail harvester. it was a flail field chopper that cut by filling action rather than shearing action. And so he and Dale Hall had worked that thing out together, and he was on the market with it. And then John Deere came on the market with their cuber. And when I came back to Iowa, the first thing I did was I went down to John Deere to see if they had any research contracts, because Iowa State was getting in a condition where the researchers had to locate their own money. And so they said, well, we'd like to know if this cuber, which was made at Ottumwa and used out on the in the desert areas of the West Coast for making cubes, would work in Iowa. And so I went back and I wrote a research contract on that. And this was 1963 now. And they approved a contract that was for $105,000 for 3 years. And so, Bernie, I talked to Ernie Poor and Ken Herron, H-E-R-R-O-N, Poor, P-O-O-R-E, to work on that. And they agreed to that. And so we had a 3-year contract to work on this. And they started working on it. And they cubed here in Iowa with a cuber that John Deere furnished. They cubed for 2 years. They had never cubed any hay that had not been rained on at least once, and sometimes as much as 3 times. Well, that isn't the way you make alfalfa hay, is losing the leaves, because that's what the farmers want. That's what the cows want to eat, and that's what produces milk. So here we were, producing machine, doing research on something that just wasn't going to work in Iowa. So I told John Deere, Gus Soteropoulos, who was the Deere engineer that I contacted and was my contact point in Deere, that there were two ways to mechanize hay. You mechanize it by making it very, very small, or making it very, very large. Now what we were doing, it was making it mid-size and making what I called people bins. They were made expressly for people to handle. And so every bale of hay not every bale of hay, because they did have ingenious farmers did from time to time, did bale picker-uppers of various kinds, but they never, any of them worked very well. And they were expensive and they were hard to manage and stuff like that. So I told them that we should make, they were making it very small and that was failing. So let's make it very, very large, a round baler. I've been drawing it for years. And Deere wasn't interested in that. And after 3 times and recounting as I have to you that the cuber wasn't working, they said, oh, go ahead, take a little of our money and make a large round baler. And so Virgil Haverdink came into my office in the fall of 1965 and sat down and he says, please, can you suggest a research project? He was doing a master's degree for me. And I says, let's make a large round baler. It was music to my ears to have a student come in and want me to express a project. Yeah. So he said, well, why do we need a large round baler? And I said, we're making these people bales, which I called them that way, people are handling, and I don't know if anybody likes to handle them. The other thing is that when you do handle those bales, you put them into storage, and half of your work, hand labor, is done. The other half of your labor is digging it out of storage and feeding it. And so what we wanted to do is make a large round baler, and we would handle it with front-end loaders that were being manufactured at that time, and farmers were buying them and putting them on their front end, their tractors, on the front of their tractors, and they could pick up a bale. And the barrels, they could pull posts with them, they could carry pig crates with pigs in them, they could just do a lot of things with them. And so he said, fine, and he went in the shop, and we had creative sessions, and he finally decided that he wanted to make a baler, a large round baler that would make a bale, that it would unload itself, that it would reload itself, that it would transport it, and then it would feed it along a feed bunk, like cattle were feeding, like cattlemen were feeding silage, self-unloading wagons, they had silage at that time. So he went to work and he built one. And he, this was by 66, he built a baler that would make a large round bale of hay and unload itself and reload itself. He never did get around to making it so it would feed itself. Well, this was moving along, and Soda Opus would come up about every 2 or 3 months and see what we were doing and so forth. And in the fall of 66, he made a number of bales, round bales, and then they baled up a batch of people bales, 35% moisture hay, because we had the idea that if we made a large round bale of hay and made it loose, it could dry. Now, if we made it at 35% moisture, the alfalfa plant does not start losing its leaves until it's 27% moisture. So we got all the leaves. I should digress here a moment to tell you that the traditional systems of farming, the least leaves, the amount of leaves you lose is about 20% by weight, the leaves. Now, alfalfa normally standing field is 50% leaves and 50% stems. So the idea was that if you lost 20% of weight, you lost 40% of the leaves. And that's a high price to try to get something done. And that's still going on today. This is 2007. The farmers are still losing their leaves. The 40% of the leaves, they're harvesting 60%. And then the cows, when they eat the hay, the leaves, are because of the, may be shattered off and lost on the ground then. So we will get on the idea of leaf harvesting here in a moment. So at any rate, the idea, and he did build loose hay and it did dry. And when we opened it up, it did have its leaves. It is high moisture hay that was dried. And so then he went on and graduated, and we opened up the stacks and we looked at it and so forth. And they, of course, the bales, the little square bales, were moldy, and that isn't good. And so, but no one has ever picked up the idea of drying the hay and baling the hay at 35% moisture, which they could save the leaves